Hello guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Black Spin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And guys. Guys.
Look at this. We're going up in the world, huh?
We done switched up. One more thing. The price of the brick going up. Going up.
We done switched up on them.
Going up. For those who are only on audio, I think you should go to YouTube.
Quickly.
We're done with the Zoom thing. Shout out to Zoom, but not shout out to them. I didn't realise that their free thing is only 40 minutes.
I mean, Lucy, this is the thing, man. It's all good, though. It's all good.
But yeah, guys, so as you can see, we have now switched up our environment.
Going to look a bit more professional.
A little bit more professional. And we want this to be a little bit more engaging as well. So now we're going to be recording the pod in a nice studio.
Lovely studio setting.
Nice little setting, you know.
I'm proper camera shy as well. Like, as
is
I'm,
it?
Oh, Lucy, you know this already.
Is
man.
It?
Like, look at me now. I'm awkward as hell. Like, but we move.
No, we got this. I'm not going to lie. Do you know, the amount of times I was out here, like, checking myself. Like, oh my gosh, like, this is... Especially that I'm going to be the one that's editing this, even more because I'm going to be looking at myself all the time and be like, Lucy, why are you looking at
this? But
it's
not like you're not used to doing it. You edit anyway.
I know, but this is different. This is 4K.
Okay.
This is 4K. Look at the quality of this camera. Please. But yeah, guys, we just wanted to change it up a little bit to make it a little bit more engaging, to make it a little bit more fun, and also take our platform to a whole nother fucking level.
Definitely.
Like, and this is just the beginning. This is how we are going to be doing this. So not only the way that we are recording is changing, but also the way we're going to go through the podcast. We actually want this podcast to be a lot more engaging. So even the format of our podcast, like, we kind of felt like we were kind of going through the things that we were posting.
Yeah, like on the socials,
And for those who don't follow us, you should. On IG, on Twitter, we're always posting straight away, like, any updates on tournaments and stuff. So we want to use a podcast to actually talk about tennis and players and
more
share
in general,
our opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah, and also make it more engaging so you guys can join the conversation as well, because at the end of the day, that's kind of what that podcast is.
Indeed.
So, yeah, it's basically a little... You know, same year, new us.
Yeah, I like that. Exactly. No, this is exactly same year, new us.
But yeah, it's crazy to think where we started.
I know. What, 2020?
2020.
Before the pandemic.
Before the pandemic, we started with audios, and even the audios were not even that great. We didn't have all the stuff that we needed.
True.
I just love how we just kept on.
We elevated.
Elevated.
And we continue to elevate. And this is the thing, like, this isn't even... Obviously, we're elevating, or this is a level up from like what we've been doing, but there's more to come as well.
Exactly.
And that's what excites me as well. Like,
100%.
Like you said, obviously starting the thing in 2019 and then the podcast 2020 to like where we are now. Like, yeah, like we've got accreditation for events and like we're proper recognized like in the tennis space.
So, you know.
And I really do love that. And I'm very grateful, obviously, to our followers, listeners.
Yeah, for
because
real.
Because you guys are making this like possible for us and like... making it worthwhile, basically. So yeah, we definitely appreciate you, and yeah, we just hope you continue to kind of stay along and like ride the wave with us, basically.
So guys, share, follow, subscribe, review, download, whatever it is, so we can keep on expanding this platform.
Indeed.
So we can keep on celebrating our players out here.
Indeed.
So yeah, so should we crack on?
I think we should, Lucy.
Where are we starting?
I think the only place really to start is the one and only Queen.
Of course, yes. Oh my gosh. So I'm going to be an auntie again. So exciting. I'm going to be an auntie again. So of course, the Queen, the legend, the GOAT. Has been blessed again with another gift. She is pregnant.
Incredible. At 41 as well.
I think that's amazing. She basically surprised us with her pregnancy at the Met Gala with her husband. And she was like, oh, I'm so glad that Anna Wintour invited us three. And it was so cute. Actually, do you know this? I didn't realize this on Twitter. Alexis kind of accidentally leaked the information.
Did he win?
It was like a week ago. One of her followers actually posted the tweet that he deleted. It was a picture of them three. It was Alexis, Olympia, and Serena
okay.
at like a museum.
Yeah. And
Shanks, shout out to Shanks on Twitter, actually posted a screenshot of it and was like, yo, I think Serena is pregnant because her bump was shown a little bit. But obviously, time, like, things like that is a bit scary because you're like, is it a bump or is she just enjoying, you know?
Life.
Yeah, life. So I think that's why he was even a bit scared, like, rah, like, should I even, and he deleted that straight away because you could see the bump a little bit. But it was like deleted really quick. So I don't think a lot of people saw it. So it was kind of accidental, but still, a surprise because I had no idea. A lot of people had no idea. I am just so happy for her. Like, she literally, you know, this is what she wanted. Her daughter wanted the same. I just really pray for a healthy pregnancy, a healthy delivery. Not only black women go through this so many times with, like, the whole, like, risk of carrying a child, especially at that age. But she's shared the things that she's been through. Like, I think we actually kind of forget the things that Serena went through.
I mean, she nearly lost her life.
Nearly lost her life. That woman could barely walk. And that is why when people were chatting shit on her return, it was extremely
we don't pay them any mind.
We don't pay them any mind, but you know, the North doesn't forget. She's probably living life and forgetting, but I don't. But so honestly speaking, I really hope that she has a peaceful and safe pregnancy. Remember how I was saying, like, it's because of that I genuinely thought she would go for IVF.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, I kept on saying it.
Or a surrogate.
Or like a surrogate, yeah. I thought she would either do that or a surrogate. So seeing that she's carrying the child, it's just beautiful, man. And shout out to her. I mean, she's done everything. And I think that's why probably she decided to do it. Like, what has Serena not
100%.
Done?
100%. I think, like you said, and you kind of alluded to it about what she mentioned in the Vogue essay about evolving away and like wanting to grow the family. Like, she's literally doing that.
She's doing that,
so
exactly.
I did laugh. There was a tweet, I think it was one of our followers, I can't remember your name, apologies, but they said, oh, basically, this confirms she's never coming back. Which is absolutely fine.
And I need
fine.
People like, to actually accept it. The amount of time, they're like, Serena could literally post a cupcake and someone would be like, oh my gosh, guys, she's coming back to tennis.
But then don't forget, she was on the court. Do you remember? Like, she posted a few weeks ago of her being on the court.
Like, something that she's been doing. Yeah. She's like a kid.
She's probably her back garden as well. Yeah, like, so as you would, you know, just wake up. I feel like hitting a ball.
Like, of course she would just do it. Just like, I mean, she's still an athlete.
Yeah.
And this is something that, as an athlete, something that you do from when you're a kid to now. So even when she just want to, release some stress or do some sort of cardio, like, I feel like when you're an athlete, you don't just get up and just stop being an athlete, just like that. Especially an athlete like her, who's extremely competitive. So, yeah, like, anything she does, like, oh my gosh, Serena is not coming back, guys, okay?
And it's fine.
And
it's
completely
fine. Exactly.
What more do you want from the woman? Hello? It's enough. Let her rest and let her take care of her children. So, yeah, shout out to Serena, Alexis, and Olympia. I was going to be a big sister.
Indeed.
Just to let you know, being the oldest is not that fun. So ready. But it is fun, but it's not that fun.
Responsibility.
It's fun, but as an older sister, I'm telling you, yeah.
But no, like you said, Lucy, congrats, man, to both Serena and Alexis. Who also liked our post.
Shout
just, you know, I'm just going to put
shout
it out there.
Alexis.
You know,
he does like our shit.
He sees us.
I see you too.
And we see that exactly. So it's very nice. And like you said, it's just amazing, like, considering, she's 41.
Mm-hmm.
She's going through the pregnancy again. Like, it's very admirable.
Mm-hmm.
The utmost respect for Queen Serena.
Yeah.
Congratulations again. Should we talk a bit about, like, the clay court season now? Because... yeah, like, it's obviously ongoing. We're coming up to the French Open at the end of May, I want to say.
End of May.
So we've had, like, a few events since we were last on.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to focus on Francis Tiafoe, shouts out, because he won his second title, or career title.
Yes.
In Houston.
Yep.
Which was ridiculous in terms of what he had to do. So the weather that week was crazy in terms of rain, pretty much rained off
for
the whole week. He didn't end up playing his first or second round match because he was a top seed in Houston. First time he's been a top seed as well at a tournament, and he ends up winning it, which was incredible. He didn't play his first match until Saturday, and he had to play two matches that day.
The second
round and then the quarter final on the same day. He won both matches in straight sets. And then had to come back on the Sunday and play his semi-final.
And the final,
which he ultimately won. And like I said, didn't drop a set all week. or say all week, for the all weekend, yeah, really, because he played those four matches over 2 days. Mm. I obviously was watching because it was on quite late at night, cheering him on, obviously. I never really, I think Tommy Paul was also in the draw. I think he was the second seed.
I don't even really remember. I just remember TFO.
Yeah, Tommy Paul lost, I want to say, in the second round or quarterfinals. Mm. That was a bit of a shock because obviously he was expected to, you know, reach the final.
Yeah.
And that would have been a nice final between Tommy Paul and TFO. But yeah, as it turned out, it was TFO and Thomas Martin Echeverry in the final from Argentina. And yeah, TFO won in straight sets. Played really good that week.
He did.
One thing I did pick up on as well, that I... Not that I would want to make too much of it, but his coach wasn't there. So Wayne Ferrer wasn't there with him.
I didn't even really realize.
That week.
Even his girlfriend, she popped up
on the day, literally on the final.
The last, during the match even. Because even like at the end, he was like, man, I didn't even know my girlfriend was over here. And I didn't realize about
but
the coach.
Obviously, though, he had his team. I think it's Jose Acanada, who's like his long-term friend and also I think like hitting partner.
I think his brother was there as well. I
don't think his brother was there.
I know there was a black guy in the box.
Yeah, so that was shouts out. That was I want to say JJ Security. He follows us on IG. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I remember you said so.
He's part of like TFO's like camp, I guess.
Right. Okay.
So
cool.
He was there. Also TFO's physio. I don't know names, but I know they were there. Like his team were there, but Wayne wasn't.
Yeah.
And I just found that quite fascinating, considering like all the chat around like kind of players having their teams and the coaches, like what's kind of your view on that in terms of, because we haven't discussed this personally, but yeah, what are your views on like kind of players traveling like essentially on their own? I know we kind of had the discussion about Alicia, which we'll talk about later on.
Mm-mm-mm.
But yeah, like what are your kind of views on that? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, you put me on the spot because I actually never really thought about it, because I don't know. I feel like if it's like a smaller tournament,
which this was, it was a 250.
Which we won, then I feel like it's okay.
Yeah.
I feel like you definitely need the whole shebang and everything, like everything, even plus more, even the things that you didn't even think that you even need for like a 1,000 or like a Grand Slam and stuff. Some might not really agree because, you know, there's some people that say, oh, with tennis, you're alone anyways and blah, blah, blah. But you never know. For example, like in the final, that was the only match where we were close to probably losing or something. Like it was the toughest one.
Yeah.
I think that's the only one he lost a set, right?
No, he didn't. He won in straight sets, but I think it went to a tiebreak.
Tiebreak. Yeah, exactly. But as we know, he's a king of tiebreaks.
Wow, indeed.
So something like that, for example, you never know. His coach probably could have shouted something that could have clicked into Tiafoe's head, and then maybe that tiebreak would have just been like, you know, it wouldn't have been the case. But for me, I don't know, I'm not too tough on the whole like coach thing. I like the whole coaching thing, to be honest.
Yeah.
Whether it's a 250 or Grand Slam thing, like I generally wish it was more, you know, when you watch football, you see the manager that's at here literally on the touchline, shouting, or in basketball and stuff. Like, all of these type of things are fun. So I'm here for it, to be honest.
No, it's a good point. And like, also as well, like I'm sure Wayne was on the phone to him like after matches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's 100%. Not like he wasn't. Or who knows, but yeah.
And his coach has got lives too. I don't know.
100%.
Like, he probably needed to go chill with his family or chill by his own and take a little break before they go to Europe.
But just on TFO as well, like how nice was it to see him? I can't believe that's only his second title as well.
It was so fulfilling.
Yeah.
It was honestly fulfilling. It goes back to what we were saying like a couple months ago, like just watching him grow and like win.
The growth.
It was a great way of starting like the clay season. I think it definitely boosted it. And I think what tournament was on in Europe at the same time? I think it was Monaco.
I think it was Estoril. Monte Carlo was the week after, and he pulled out obviously because of which is understandable.
I think it was Estoril.
He got to the
final last year. And that's what I wish he. I was like, oh man, he should have. He should have went and stuff and blah blah blah.
Well, so, the weather definitely was better in Estoril than it was in Houston.
Yeah,
so that's for sure.
But either way, it helped out, and obviously winning that and winning in America, and you know in Houston as well. So yeah, it was nice.
Yeah,
I
think this is gonna make him like we've already said, like he's already kind of shown. I think he got to, or after this win, he got to 11 in the rankings, which mm-hmm. is a career high. So like mm-hmm. he's literally knocking on the door of the top 10.
He's definitely going to get in the top 10. 100%.
But I think last year's US Open run, and not just the US Open, but the whole of last season, like he was on such a nice climb.
Yep.
And the US Open just like kind of solidified it. Laver Cup 2, obviously that wasn't ranking points, yeah. but what he did there was also significant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's kind of played into this season now, which yep. is what we're seeing. So yeah, very, very happy for Francis, man. And like, I just think it's going to be something we need to kind of get familiar with, like in terms of him winning more titles.
Oh, because 100%.
He's shown he's got the game, like on mm-hmm. all surfaces. This was also his first title on clay.
Yeah.
So, or ATP Tour title mm-hmm, on clay. I think he's mm-hmm. won some challenges on clay. But yeah, again, he's got an all-court game. So very, very excited about Francis going forward.
I'm happy about
that. Yeah. I think we should stay with the men, actually.
Mm.
So let's talk about... Before we go like ATP, like tour, we should also mention Giovanni Mepeshi Perricard.
Yes.
The young French kid. I say kid, he's, I want to say 19 or 20 now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he won his first challenger in Mexico, I want to say.
All I know is that like, it's called Leon.
Yeah, Leon. it was in Mexico. The okay. Leon Open.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was, obviously we weren't watching that because it wasn't like televised.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But again, very significant. And we've seen like kind of what happens like when you win a challenger title, mm-hmm. like your kind of confidence and like just...
And he won from like, he had to go through qualifying for that as well. Yeah,
look at you. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So he came through qualifying and yeah, basically won through. I think he beat like three or four seeds
on route. Yeah.
So again, that's not insignificant
mm.
In terms of like the confidence that's going to give him going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So he's someone we've spoken about as well, like quite at length during the, it was the French Open juniors, when he played doubles with Arthur Fils,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Obviously they're both French, good friends, I guess. They played doubles together. I think they got to the doubles final. And then I think they played each other in the singles. I think it was the semi-final the year that Fils was a runner-up. So yeah, it's just nice to see them kind of go through the ranks now. And like, mm-hmm. obviously Fils is literally knocking on the door of the top 100. I think Mepeshi Perricard is slightly low in the rankings. But yeah, this will do him some good in terms of where he's going to go in terms of climbing up the rankings. So a name to look out for, definitely. I also want to talk about, staying with the men, Elias Immer.
Yeah.
So he was in Marrakesh,
mm-hmm.
Which is Morocco. So he won through, or came through qualifying in Marrakesh, and he got to the second round. So he won a round, he won his first round, and then got to the second round where he played Talon Grigspor. But yeah, he lost in straight sets. And yeah, Immer, he hasn't, or Elias, let me say, because Mikel is top 100, Elias isn't. But yeah, Elias hasn't cracked the top 100.
Okay.
Very, very close to. I think he's like 150. I think he's got as high as like 120. But one thing that fascinates me about Elias, he goes to Harvard. He's a Harvard grad, not a grad, but...
He studies
at Harvard,
right?
Exactly. Okay. So he's on one of their, what's the scheme called? So it's the crossover of business program at Harvard Business School. So he's like, I think the first Swede to be on the program. And he's like, which is incredible. And I think we need to speak more about that as well.
Yeah.
So that's our bad. I say my bad, really, because I should have really been on that from, you know, when it first broke. But I just think that deserves a bit of like, like shine and like notoriety.
Yeah, so definitely.
That's a really good look on Elias's part. And yeah, it's nice to see him as well, like just grinding as he does, because he plays most of his tennis on like the Challenger Tour. But yeah, he's kind of doing his thing as well, like trying to get up on the ATP Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Shelton, let's talk about. Ben, Mr. Shelts. I've got here, don't laugh. AKA Central C.
All right, let's practice.
But no, wait. And listeners, you help me out here, because there's a video, and hopefully you can find this when you're editing.
I hope I don't find it.
There's a video where
I might even edit it out, because what are you talking about? Does Ben Shelton look like Central C?
There's a video where he talks about like the music he's into. And he says, yeah, like Central C is someone he...
So what if it mentioned... But, I love Beyonce. Hello, look at me. I don't look nothing like her.
But when he said it, I was like, wow, like, I kind of see a little resemblance. Like, you know me, I love a lookalike.
You need to stop these your lookalike. Where do you see Central C? But just because you're seeing two mixed people that are looking hella light does not mean that they're both looking the same.
My bad, man. My bad.
I'm going to put a picture together and then people are going to come and cuss you out, because I like to disclaim, I do not believe that Belshazzar looks like Central C.
Look at me just sinking in my seat. Just sinking in the seat. I'm not...
Oh my gosh, I can't believe this man.
But yeah, Ben, so this was his first stint, like kind of on European clay. Yep. And yeah, he played Estoril the week Francis won in Houston. He got to the second round in Estoril. I think he lost to, was it Casper Ruud? Or Dominic? Yes. Team.
Team, yeah.
But he wasn't feeling well. Like, he had food poisoning. It came out afterwards.
Yeah,
that's why he wasn't like playing like his normal kind of standard. And he did kind of look. I wasn't watching the match. I just saw highlights.
Yeah, I didn't see the team one. I watched quite a few of his thing, but I didn't watch the team. I think I was in the office that day or something.
Because he didn't look like his normal self. And usually he's quite like
energetic.
Yeah, and there wasn't really much energy against team. Yeah. And like, team's a good player, obviously. Team's also working his way back from like injury.
Yeah.
But he's a bit of a clay court like specialist. Exactly. So that wasn't a massive surprise. Mm-hmm. And yeah, team said some really nice things about him as well, like afterwards saying, oh yeah, like obviously he's a, you know, up and coming player, quite dangerous. So like, yeah, this is like his first kind of, I say, go like on the European clay. So he's definitely a name to look out for. Which I always like when players are kind of like big up like their fellow, especially the younger players as well. It's nice. Yeah. It's nice to hear that.
100%.
So yeah, Shelton, he's doing his thing, and I just find it fascinating how this is his first like full season, yet like he's being seeded at a lot of these event, like big events.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is like mad.
Honestly, the way he's playing, like, I remember I literally tweeted it. I was like, once he's comfortable on these surfaces and these tournaments, because obviously he's literally never even been to Europe.
Exactly, yeah.
Once he's comfortable, it's over for you niggas. Yeah, yeah. Like, the way he was like, I think, was it against Ruud? I think so. There was a match, and I think it was against Ruud.
Yeah, Ruud was Barcelona.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, he was really fucking, especially that first set, he was really fucking close. And some of the, and look at all these platforms literally, like, posting videos of, like, Ben Shelton best shots blah blah blah.
He's literally a human highlight
like,
reel.
Honestly, it's actually in like the way he's playing. I'm just like, this is so impressive. Like, you can see that he's very hungry for it, and I generally cannot wait for when like he gets to that to that place where he's like, I can set pace here. I generally think clay could be one a surface that's going to be a problem for some players when they play against him, because the way he's playing and the way he's feeling it. It's like, yeah, I'm really excited. Like, that's why I was really excited, like, watching his matches. But, yeah.
So, Estoril, I think it's important. Well, I say important. It's kind of, yeah, it's good to mention who won the title. So, it was Casper Ruud who won in Estoril, who, yeah, Shelton ended up playing the week after in Barcelona.
Okay.
So, like, obviously, in-form player. Again, Casper Ruud loves the clay. Like, it was... wasn't a massive surprise to kind of see, although Shelton has beaten Ruud. So don't forget, Shelton played him in, was it Cincinnati?
Oh, I forgot.
Last year, yeah. And that was like kind of where he kind of announced himself, because that was at a Masters event.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was Cincinnati. It was definitely a Masters event. And yeah, Shelton, he beat Ruud. And that was a big, big shock, like, considering Ruud is like one of the top seeds.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think with Shelton, like you said, he's going to be a problem on the clay. And like, 100%. I think...
100%.
As he's kind of just kind of, yeah, getting used to like tour life.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, like he's definitely going to be someone that we're going to be talking about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and not just because of like his amazing shot making, like, which is great, obviously, for the sport in terms of bringing in like a new audience and stuff. But
even his energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even his energy. The crowd loves him. He's very energetic. I generally feel like he's going to be like one of the next big stars, especially that he's American as well. 100%. That's an extra push. So yeah, honestly, I'm really excited for Ben, to be honest.
He also played Monte Carlo. So he was the only like black player.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot.
I say black, he's mixed race, but he's black. I think it's important to like mention that as well. You see, like, so
you're right.
But yeah, he played Monte Carlo. He lost to Grigor Dimitrov.
Okay.
And again, like Dimitrov's an amazing player. Yeah, not a massive surprise there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's where I said I've got the Central C thing. But Monte Carlo, it was Rublev who won that. And that was Rublev's first Masters 1000.
Yeah, he did.
A lot of people very happy for Rublev.
Yeah, because he's been so close so many times. Yeah,
exactly.
So yeah, shout out to him. Yeah.
So yeah, no, good look for Rublev. Mm. Barcelona now. That's where we had a bit more interest. So Shelton again, he got a good win against Mackenzie McDonald in the first round, fellow American. And yeah, McDonald looked pretty pissed off after that.
Really?
Yeah, like they it was a nice handshake, but you can tell he
was... I watched that match, but I was working at the same time, so it was on my iPad just on the side. Okay. So I didn't really clock.
You can tell he was pissed off because it was quite close. But yeah, Shelton was just too good, basically.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And then he lost in the second round to Casper Ruud.
Yeah.
Who, like we said, won the week before. Mm. TFO was also in the Barcelona draw. So he was seeded. So he got a first round bye. Yeah. And he played Emil Ruusuvuori in the second round. The guy from Finland, I think, for Ruusuvuori. And yeah, TFO lost that in three sets. Didn't really look too much into that, to be fair. Like, and again, considering that was his first match since Houston.
He
took a bit of time off.
Yeah.
European clay is different as well.
100%. Yeah, it's definitely different. Yeah.
Stefanos Tsitsipas has mentioned.
Do you feel like he should have gone straight then?
As in what? To
straight UFO? After Houston. Because I generally thought like he would literally be on the plane and boom.
As in what, to play Monte Carlo? He took the week off. That's and true. Then.
Yeah, because he couldn't go.
And then played Barcelona. Exactly.
That's true.
I think he did the right thing. Like,
fair enough. He was in Greece, I think, for some charity thing.
Yeah, I did see that. I don't know much about it. Nice Taylor Fritz as well.
Yes.
I don't know much about that, but I did see some pictures on the socials. Barcelona, it was Carlos Alcaraz that ended up winning that title. Defended it from last year, I think.
Yeah,
I want to say
he did.
So fair play.
Carlos is on different smoke.
He is.
God damn.
He is. I'm trying to think. Did Felix play Barcelona?
He didn't. No.
So what was his first?
His first is
Madrid.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
He couldn't do Monte Carlo. He was injured, and then Barcelona as well. He skipped it.
Wow. Okay. And yeah. I've got nothing here about Madrid on the men's side.
Well, to be fair, it's still on right now.
But yeah, from our perspective, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit.
TFO did win a match. He won his second round match because, again, he was seeded, so he got a first round bye. And then he played Kachin in the third round and he lost. And he didn't look like he was on it.
Who, TFO?
TFO, yeah. I just don't know. Like, in terms of, I think Madrid as well, it's difficult because the altitude, like, and we don't, obviously, we're not there, so, and we're not playing, so we don't, you know, feel it like the players do.
Yeah.
But the altitude definitely does have an effect on kind of performance,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'd definitely like to talk to players more about that and kind of, get, you know, just a sense of like what it is actually like mm-hmm. to play in Madrid, because it's a unique experience compared to like other events basically in Europe. So yeah, Felix, he played, who did he lose to? He lost in the first round. It was
Serbian,
I think it was Lajovic, Dusan Lajovic. I'm pretty sure it was Lajovic. And again, I think that was in straight sets.
For some reason, it's not popping out here, but I guess so.
Yeah, I'm confident it was Lajovic.
Okay.
But
to be fair, that was his first match
on clay. Exactly.
He missed out, obviously, since he pulled out of the other matches.
Yeah.
The other tournament, sorry. Let me check again. Why is it not working?
Is it a signal thing?
Oh, yeah. Would you say who?
Lajovic.
Yeah, he did. It was actually three sets.
Was it three sets? Okay.
Yeah, so he didn't play since Miami Open. But he did get up to the quarterfinals when he's playing doubles with
Dennis. Are they still in it then? Or?
No, they lost literally yesterday. But that was a quarterfinal. So at least he got some matches in there. Because after Madrid is what, Rome?
Exactly. So, next week, yep. Very exciting about Rome. Yeah. I'm excited for Rome. That wraps up the men, I want to say. Shelton, he was also in the... Did we talk about Shelton in Madrid?
Yeah, we did. Oh, no. We're not in Madrid, no.
Okay, so Shelton played... He lost in the second round. Who did he play in the first round? Did he get a win?
I don't think so. It wouldn't make sense if he did.
This is great television, Lucy. Us looking at our phones, but... we move.
So he... No, he lost to...
Oh, wow, Struff. Yeah. So he got a bye. He got a bye, first round bye, and then, lost to Jan-Leonard Struff in the second round.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, like, for him to be getting, you know, first round byes, considering...
Listen, when he was playing, like, the courts were busy. Like, people were really cheering him on, to be honest.
Yeah. And, he draws a crowd, 100%. Yeah. And it's because of his energy and, like, just the way he is, so...
He's playing a challenger tomorrow in Italy.
Okay, which is cool.
Which is good. Get some matches.
Exactly.
In,
so, and that's a new thing as well in terms of challengers or challenger events being put on during the second week of Masters events. So when players lose, if players lose early, like at a Masters event, they can go and play these challenges, nice. which is good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that wraps up the men.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else we need to talk about before we go into the women or?
Yeah, I think that's it for the men, to be honest.
So women, where should we start? Let's start in Charleston.
Yeah, Charleston. Yeah, which I want to say there was a lot of matches against the black players. Charleston. Hello. What's going on?
So like Mar, but to be fair, it was good though in terms of
it was good.
In terms
it was
of,
good.
Yeah.
It was just like I want to see but like literally from like
second
from
round.
The from second round, literally
qualifying.
Qualifying, we actually had a few. When I was like looking, I was like, "What's going on?"
Because I saw Sasha Vickery.
Sasha Vickery.
She went through.
She went through. She went. She came from qualifying, but she lost the second round.
Exactly.
To Grabber.
Grabher. Yeah. Grabher. I think Austrian.
Yeah, Baptiste as well.
Was Baptiste a wild card or was that qualifying?
Qualifying.
As well?
Oh,
wicked.
And she had to play against Watson in the last qualifying match.
She then
lost in the second round to Keys.
Yeah, and then but she, in the first round she beat the Chinese girl Zhiju Wang.
Yeah.
Big win.
That was a big win. Big win.
And yeah, Keys, like you said, second round, who she's beaten before. Do you remember? So she beat Keys in Washington.
She did.
2019, I think it was. Was it 2019 or 2020? And that was a bit of a that was like the kind of win that kind of announced herself on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they kind of shed a nice moment at the net. I remember that match.
Yeah.
But yeah, Keys, she was the champ in 2019. She won Charleston in 2019.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
So she made a run to the quarterfinals. Who did she lose to in the quarters? I can't remember.
Katakina.
Okay.
Is not the one I said that looks like Alicia Keys.
No, that's Kalilina. Ukrainian, she does.
Anyway, so although we had all of those happening, luckily we did have our African sister who won the tournament.
Shouts out, Ons.
So shout out to Ons.
Our North African sister, indeed.
Yeah, so, you know, so at least we had a little sign there.
Definitely. Sloane played quite well as well. She got to the second round, but she lost to Azarenka.
Yeah.
And that was
she
in three
did.
Sets.
That was in three sets. That was in three sets. I actually thought she was going to win that.
But it was nice to see Sloane playing at that level. Mm-hmm. Like,
it was very close. You know, she likes her clay as
and
well.
And again,
so.
she's won that tournament too. I think she won it in 2016.
Yeah,
so
she has won it once.
She definitely likes Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Stuttgart. The Porsche Tennis Grand Prix. Love that tournament.
Yeah, because they're getting a whole new bloody car.
We love that tournament a lot. Shouts out to Porsche. Alicia Parks.
Yes.
So she won. She won through qualifying. She got through as a lucky loser. Mm-hmm. So she lost in the final round of qualifying, but got through. I think she got through as a lucky loser. And then she had to play Qin Win Zheng.
Yeah, which that one's tough.
Tough.
That first set was very Yeah, it was, that was a very good first set, actually.
I think she lost, really, was it 6-4, 6-4?
Yeah.
And, I mean, Parks was on a run of, like, what, 6 or 7 straight defeats? I think she won one match since Leon.
Yeah.
Going into that match.
Yeah.
So, like, form wasn't the best. But, like, she was, for me, that showed, okay, she's getting back to where she was. Because that was a pretty good quality match.
That was a good match in terms of both players playing quite well. Yeah.
And again, that was her debut as well in Stuttgart.
Yeah.
And I think, again, like, we just take it for granted thinking, oh, like, yeah, these players are playing these tournaments. Like, it's a different experience, like, when you're playing somewhere for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot kind of...
Which people tend to forget.
This is what I'm saying. So I think that is definitely worth mentioning.
100%, because people are forgetting.
Indeed, and that's why we're here. Coco Gauff. So she... I think she played Billie Jean King Cup.
Yep.
The weekend before.
Mm-hmm.
Then through to Stuttgart. Shouts out as well to the USA because they did qualify for...
Yeah, and Coco did most of the job.
The end of the year. So she won a singles and doubles match.
Yep.
Also, shouts out to Italy. Jasmine Paolini.
Paolini, yep.
Also in the Italy squad. They're also going to... I'm not sure where it is, the finals, but it's end of the year. I think it's November.
Mm.
Billie Jean King Cup. Finals.
You guys know how I feel about BGK Cup. Anyway,
stop it. So, but, yeah. but yeah, Coco, who's no longer working with her coach.
Oh, yeah, her coach.
Diego Maiano.
Yep. They did make it clear that it wasn't bad blood. That it was a thing.
And it was more his call. I think things going then, on with him.
Yeah. He said that he needed to step out and sort out some stuff.
Exactly.
So, and then it was funny because during her match, I know I'm skipping here, but I think it was during Madrid, Patrick was in her box. Yeah. Which I haven't seen in a very long time.
I mean, he's been with Holger Rune.
Yeah, I know, but even when he was with other people, you saw him a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Although it's weird, sorry to cut you, but with Rune, they announced that they'd stopped working with each other, but now like he's kind of back in the camp, which is a bit odd, but anyway.
Oh, really? I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Mm. I'm surprised because he's actually been, I'm not going to lie, since Patrick been with
him. Yeah, Rune's doing his thing.
Rune's been doing his thing, so I think you might want to keep him. Like, it was interesting because it was the first time Patrick was in Coco's box and people were like, you know what? Why not? Like, just... Maybe it was the first. Normally, when Patrick's in the box, why is Patrick in the box? Yeah. Oh my gosh, he's such a clout chaser. Why Patrick in the box? Because I've always said it. I said, listen, I know Patrick is extra and all, which I feel like he's been really quiet ever since he split with Serena. I don't know if it's just me.
Well, Halep, innit? You don't think Halep's going through her shit?
That's true. But I don't feel like he's been as loud as before. But it's just funny because I've always said, listen, guys, I get how everyone feels about Patrick, but the guy knows tennis. like it or not, he knows tennis.
He knows ball.
Honestly speaking, personally, I wouldn't be mad if Patrick joined.
Because it's nice to see, listen, I love seeing, obviously, Corey, as in Coco's dad, who obviously he was her coach or is her coach, really. And now... and shouts out Jameer Jenkins as well. He's also in the camp.
Yeah.
I think he's just like basically a hitting partner for Coco. So I do like seeing that. But of course, like Patrick, I mean, and it's how you look at it in terms of like how much credit you want to give coaches in terms of the player's ability and, you know, their results on the court.
Yeah.
And I always think it's a bit of a, there's a fine line basically in it. Like, I think most credit should go to the player because ultimately they're the one.
Facts.
Or they are the individual out there on the court, you know, playing the points, winning these matches. But of course, yeah, their team plays a part. Mm. But I just think, yeah, like we sometimes look too deeply, and it goes back to what we were saying earlier about like coaches being present at events. Like we look too deeply at like, oh my God, like, who's the coach? Like, where's the coach? Like, it's not always that deep
for you, as far as I'm concerned. Feel?
Yeah.
So what do you feel like, let's say if Patrick joined Coco now.
As in he...
If he left Rune, leaves Halep.
I mean, yeah.
Or
like,
do you feel like it is what it is anyways?
I kind of feel like it is what it is, Lucy. Like, in terms of like the name, of course, that's going to be a big story. Because obviously Patrick, his history, Serena... Mm-hmm. Halep as well. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't win a Grand Slam, but she did win, I think she won a 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a good track record, mm-hmm. of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, like, Coco is 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She's top 10. I think she's 6th in the world. Like,
mm-hmm.
she's literally, we all know she's established herself as a top player.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to win big events. We all know that. And exactly, for me, it's regardless of who's her coach. Like, okay. I just see it as, it's inevitable, basically. Okay. So I would love to see, I don't see what the issue is with, like, Corey being her coach, pretty much. Yeah, yeah, but then yeah. I understand, obviously, you know, that's her dad, and, like, he's, you know, they have kids, well, Coco's not the only kid. Like, they've got, like, I think she's got two brothers.
I think so, yeah.
She's the oldest. Yeah. Family, like, a lot plays into it. And, like, tennis is very intense. The travel involved, and, like, it's a lot. Yeah. So to kind of have, you know, someone or coach with you, they need to be with you literally all year round.
Mm.
I don't know how realistic. I mean, I know Corey does travel with Coco pretty much as it stands now. But
yeah.
I don't know long term if that's going to continue to be the case, basically.
Mm.
So we'll see. But, I mean, of course, it'd be a massive story if she announces, oh yeah, now Patrick's my coach, which I don't know, that I don't think that's going to happen. But
yeah, no, I definitely don't see the dad. Even if that happens, I still see Corey being there.
Yeah, no, of course.
Like, he's definitely going to be, especially with how young she is and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to leave her side at all. And his plus, you know, he made sacrifices a lot as well to, you know, to help his daughter be where 100%. He's not just going to get up and leave. So,
100%. Yeah. Staying in Stuttgart, though, so it was Iga Świątek who won. So again, she defended from last year.
Yeah, so that means she needs
took home another Taycan.
Like, hello. yeah. Do you even need another one?
It was Sabalenka in the final. Was it? Did she beat her in the final last year as well?
I can't remember.
I think it was. You know,
is it?
Yeah.
I can't remember, but I know she wanted to win that so bad. She was like, "Yeah, I really want that." And I think one of the interviewer was like, "Yeah, you can get a Porsche." She's like, but I want it for free.
Yeah, she likes three things or something. Like, yeah,
you know, it's so funny when people feel because rich people are rich, they're like, who doesn't want, if someone gave you a free Porsche, you're a millionaire, are you going to still be like, no, don't worry, I can buy it. No, you're going to take it. Porsche. Especially after hard work. You're just beating all these players and you're getting a free Porsche. Hey, come on.
Indeed. I know, listen, we're being more general now, so I think we should talk about Emma Raducanu as well.
Yeah.
So she got a lot of crap. And I'm not going to hammer hammer her because that's unfair.
Hell no.
But she did get a lot of crap for playing Stuttgart mm-hmm. and not playing in the Billie Jean King Cup.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that was like, well, that was a story that was in the media now anyway.
Everything is making a bit more sense. Yeah,
because Porsche are one of her sponsors as well. So, I mean, where the money resides. Like, let's go there, basically.
He's not even... I swear BJ Cup don't even thing your rankings.
It doesn't, no. No. But it's playing for your country. So it's like, there's more kind of like honour.
Girl, this country ain't gonna come and hello, I've got to save my rankings up because clearly it's not been...
And that too.
I didn't know that bit. That everything is making sense as to why she was getting cooked after
when
she was trying to... So I think the British journalists were trying to like interview her for... Which one was it? Was it Madrid, actually?
Madrid, yeah. And yeah, she was trying giving to the one-word answers.
And I think she literally, like, there was, like, hella questions. She answered, like, 15.
Quite like that, though, as well. I like
that. I respect that. Yeah. It was given Venus Williams. You know what? You see your impact, Venus? The impact is everywhere, not just on court, but also in these interviews.
Indeed.
It was given Venus. It was like, yep, no, great.
Mm.
Pure
sass.
I don't blame her. Now everything is making sense because we were probably upset with the fact that she wasn't playing for the BJK Cup. And then obviously the interview was happening and the British owners were so upset because they were like, you're not giving. And I'm just like, this is the only time this has ever happened, number one.
Mm.
Number two, you like, just sit down and think, right? You have all this pressure on you after winning your Grand Slam. People are obviously expecting you to be winning your matches. You're not really winning as much. You're literally about... You also then... You look at your draw, then you find out that you're about to play. If you win your first round, you're going to play the number one player who's been winning like crazy and who just won a tournament right now in a free fucking Porsche. And then at that time, obviously, we didn't know, but she obviously knew. Her wrist was hurting on top of that.
To be fair, the wrist has been, it's been an issue.
Yeah, it's been an issue. There's all of this. Why the fuck would I want to speak to you?
Yeah, and
I just feel like I get that you have your job to do, because I did read some articles from some journalists and basically explaining like, yeah, like we're trying to do our job.
Mm.
I get it, but you're human as well. 100%. Like, just think about, like, use that time to write your article to basically even appreciate the fact that she even took her, because she could have done the whole, I'm not speaking to you guys. But we all know what happens when that happens, because Naomi Osaka
experienced
that. Yeah. And she told you people, she said it, sometimes these interviews are not helpful and I need to save my mental health. You guys didn't want to listen. You crucified her. So now you're going to deal with players that feel like, you know what? I don't want to deal with what Osaka went through. So I'm just going to go, but I'm going to give them one worded answer.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fine.
And I think that's fine. Like, especially if it was a thing where she's done it so many times, I could get it. But this is the first ever time I've ever heard people complaining and people are crucifying, like, as if, like, you know, it was going crazy. And now I bet they feel silly because now she's announced that she's literally had, she has to do surgery on her wrist and she's basically off for the rest of the season. Like, we might not see, because what they did say that she might come back US Open.
But she's missing the French and Wimbledon, which is mad.
Mad.
Stuttgart too. I know we're kind of going back and forth a bit, but yeah, Stuttgart, the field was ridiculous in terms of the players. So, yeah. I mean, Parks has to play qualifying and she's like top 50.
Mm-hmm.
I think Raducanu, she played Ostapenko in the first round,
mm-hmm.
like, which just shows the level. Yeah. Like,
I mean, the girl's gonna show up for. Listen, you're telling me free Porsche and all I have to do is just win a couple matches. Let's go.
But I don't know if you saw our guy. Shouts out Tamani Karyal, his piece in the Guardian.
Yeah.
Just saying that basically there's a lack of events on the WTA tour. You have basically instances like Stuttgart where top players want to play, but then the lower ranked players, they can't get a looking because obviously the top players, they kind of take precedent in terms of over because of their ranking.
Yeah.
So that kind of leaves the lower ranked players with nowhere to play. And it's an issue definitely that I think needs addressing, like, going forward. Like I said, Tamani, he wrote a nice piece about it in The Guardian. We'll share the link with the show notes. But I think that's also an issue going forward, like on the WTA tour. Like, and we've discussed it in the past in terms of like how we enjoy watching women's tennis.
Yeah.
But like, if there aren't enough events like for these women to be playing in, then...
And I swear they're trying to scrap off some events again.
I mean, so there's been a bit of a controversy.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be playing again in China.
Yes.
And like, a lot of people aren't happy about that as well, because obviously the whole Peng Shui.
But do you know what? When I saw that, I was like, did people really think that they were not going to go back to China?
I mean, that you just...
Have you seen yen? Have you seen Chinese money?
The money is different. Yeah.
Listen, guys, unless you have a lot of money to give to WTA, which you do not, I knew it was a thing where it's going to be like a 1 year break and they're going to go back. Especially that we literally play in nearly every single continent.
Yeah.
It's
a tough one as well. Like so the ATP tour, this is a story that kind of broke this week as well about the next gen finals. It's currently held in Italy, Turin.
Yeah.
But the contract, that's coming to an end.
Already?
So, yeah, it's been 5 years.
Why did they move it from London?
It's because I think they have like a 5 year contract.
They should have just left it in London.
So the thing is, they're saying now they're going to move it to
Asia,
the Middle East. So I think it's like Saudi Arabia or Dubai. And again,
look what the World Cup has done.
Again, that's not, I mean, people are saying, oh, that's not exactly ethical, like in terms of like human rights issues and stuff like that, which I just think it's very muddy waters when you kind of go into that.
Guys,
because
if the way I see, I get where everyone's coming from.
Yeah.
We have seen or heard of crazier stories, especially when we're getting closer to the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But none of these fucking countries are ethical.
This is it.
The only difference is that in these countries where we are, the white people are running it, so we don't know the stories
in the
as way, much.
This is the thing, man. And I'm sorry, it does kind of come down to a colour thing.
Yeah, like, 100%.
I don't want to turn this into like some kind of 100%. Like, political...
Because everyone's talking about ethical and stuff. And it's so funny because the Olympics, for instance, right, is going to be in bloody America, When every day when I wake up, I'm finding out about shootings.
Olympics?
So it's like, yeah. As in, no, sorry. The World Cup. Oh, the next World Cup is going to be like in America as well. Mm. So it's like, there's no... If we're going to sit down and talk about all these type of things, like, all right, guys, like, there's no...
Yeah.
With the China thing, I get it because, you know, with the incident that happened... What's her name again? Sorry.
Peng Shui.
Peng Shui, yeah. I know everything that happened. Like, they were trying... I respect the WTA to be, like, to be supportive. Like, I rate that a lot, 100%.
And they did, to be fair, they did, like, cut kind of all ties.
They cut all ties. Mm-hmm. But I knew it was temporary.
Yeah.
I knew it was temporary because, number one, on top of the money, you need to keep in mind, like, Chinese people move different. I don't think we'll ever know the truth. If you get what I mean? Like, I don't think we'll ever know what actually really happened, what... I think they know what to do to make sure that everything is hidden and sacred. Because that's just how they are. That's literally their culture. Yeah, that's how they move. So on top of that, and also with all the money involved, honestly, I'm not too surprised.
No, I agree. I think it's inevitable, like you said.
Yeah. But I really hope that Peng is in a good position. I hope she's safe. I hope she feels okay with everything that's happening because really and truly, that's how all of this even started and that's only her that matters at the moment. So, yeah, we'll see anyways.
Well said. No, I completely agree. Let's kind of get back on track. Madrid. So obviously that's still going on as we kind of record this episode.
Yeah.
But massive week for our girl Alicia Parks.
Debut
in Madrid.
Yep.
So she played Anna Karolina Schmidlova in the first round. Topsy-turvy. I think it was a three-set win in the end. And then, she made a run to the third round. So she beat... Who did she beat in the second round? She beat Azarenka in the second round.
Yes,
massive,
she did.
Massive
she
straight did. Sets win as well.
Straight sets, yep.
And Azarenka wasn't... I mean, see it how you see it, but she was kind of like... She wasn't basically well, I guess. She was being... I think she was struggling with... she had an inhaler. So I think she was having like breathing difficulties.
I think I saw some tweets about that.
Not sure.
She said that...
Go on.
I think like the medical people would basically tell her to drink some drink or something.
Yeah, like you're fine. Like your heart rate's normal. Like you haven't got a temperature.
That's what I heard because I missed that. I wasn't watching it, but I was keeping like on track with the apps and stuff. But then when I went on Twitter, I did see like some people saying like they literally told her to drink a sport drink after she said that she had breathing difficulty, and I was like, what?
But anyway, back to Park. Shouts out to Michael, her dad, who's with her in Madrid. So, and again, so much has been made about Parks and like her, where's her coach? Like, where's their team? And all that nonsense because, her results, like we said, haven't been as good after Leon or since Leon. Yeah. But dad being in the camp now in Madrid, she literally got to the third round. And that was that's her best result at a WTA 1000 event. She lost to Martina Trevisan, exactly, who loves the clay as well.
And even that match... So Trevisan, the first set, she was...
It was tight.
But the first set, she was literally like 5-1.
Oh, yeah, she was a double break up, exactly.
Yeah. And then out of nowhere, Park just went...
I think I started
watching the match from like, I think it was like 4-1 or something. Okay, we're going to lose the first set. I was like, wait, what's going on? Literally, she went... Boom, like on crazy smoke. And it wasn't even a thing of Trevisan dropped her level. It was just that Parks just went ham.
The thing with Parks as well, like we kind of said this before, like she's got so many weapons, but the serve is definitely like a standout.
I swear she did like a crazy stat as well. Let me pull up my numbers right
here.
I'm pretty sure she did.
I know she's got a really good tiebreak record.
Yeah, she got a thing, but her serves... So,
first serves.
Yes, her first serves. Oh, sorry, my data is taking forever. You even messaged me and said, oh, come through statistics here. And like, yeah, man, I'm putting up the stats. Oh, it's taking long. Oh, I can't see it. But I think she had like the, what was it, like the fastest average.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. That rings a bell. Yeah.
It was something like that. Let me check again.
That rings a bell.
Alicia Parks. But yeah, when it comes to her serves, like, that's always been like her biggest weapon.
And
like,
again, who taught her that?
Venus Williams.
Well, her dad.
Oh, her dad.
But of course, taken from, like, yeah, elements were taken from Venus and Serena.
100%. It just shows to you how it's literally, where is it? Aha, that's it.
Here we go.
Alicia Parks is a female player with the most aces on average per match in 2023. Wow. She's over Elena, Zhang, Garcia, and Sabalenka.
Wow. So Elena as in Rybakina?
Yeah, Rybakina,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yep. So, yeah. So I think apparently like 127 in like 15 matches.
That is nuts.
She hits that crazy. And this is,
yeah, and again,
you go, girl.
This is again, it's a free hit for her, and we've said this in previous pods, like, because of her ranking, she's not defending any points. So yeah, like, literally all of these events, I think her ranking's gone up.
Yes,
even though
I think
she lost,
like 40,
exactly,
40
career
like that.
I think she's like 40. I think she's literally bang on 40.
Okay. Oh wow. Okay.
Which,
yeah,
is like,
yeah,
a career high. So, and she,
this time last year, where was she?
This is what I'm saying to you.
Crazy.
Like in the 200s.
Why you guys are out here just chatting shit?
So let's just rein it in and, like, just exactly, just watch and appreciate greatness happening before you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Parks, and again, like, we have a relationship with her,
mm-hmm,
well, through her dad, Michael.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot to be excited about there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, she's going to be, I'm looking forward to seeing her on grass, because that serve, she plays a lot of doubles too. And like, for me, it's similar to Coco, like in terms of, you know, when a player comes to the net, like, I feel so confident Coco's,
yeah,
going to put the ball away,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
because she plays a lot of doubles,
yeah,
and like, you know,
yeah,
she knows what she's doing.
Yep.
I feel the same way about Parks, although, mm-hmm, she hasn't got as many titles as Coco in the, on like the double side.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
the fact that she plays doubles literally every tournament she, yeah, plays singles in, which,
mm-hmm,
I think is amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that's so good for players when they're developing,
100%.
Because that's just going to help your game, overall game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think I want to see more men doing that as well.
That's
and
true.
I think, I say men, like Ben Shelton, he doubles.
Did, yeah, he
with,
did play.
With Runa. Who did he play? I think
Is
he played.
Dimitrov?
Did he play with Dimitrov?
He's been playing double with a big player.
He definitely played with Runa, and I did like that partnership. I think they lost to Shapo and Felix, though. But like, I just like.
No, it was Hercash.
Hercash, okay. That's a nice pairing, actually.
Yeah.
Shouts out to Hercash.
During Madrid Open.
Nice.
And then Cam Nori during Monte Carlo.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And then,
that's like US college,
someone
like partnership.
Val in Estoril is a Portuguese player.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think he's like another college kid.
Yeah, and in America he was playing with, he played with a lot of different,
yeah,
ones. Wow. Miami Open, he'll play with Paul.
Nice.
Indian Wells, he'll play with Rune.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about, Runa.
McDonald's in Mexican Open. He's played with like a lot of different McDonald's again. So I think he played a little bit more McDonald's in America,
yeah,
and since then's been mixing about.
Yeah.
You can tell that he's trying to play like different,
exactly,
type of matches. Because for him to go to already a challenger tomorrow, for instance,
it's fantastic.
Just,
it's,
yeah,
brilliant. So yeah, I just think again on the doubles thing, I want to see more singles players playing doubles, because,
mm,
I think that's just only gonna also elevate like doubles as well, like,
mm,
make us want to watch doubles too,
yeah.
So very, very good. Let's talk about Coco actually as well. So she lost in the third round,
mm-hmm,
in Madrid to Paula Badosa, home favorite.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Did you watch that match? Because I didn't.
I don't think I did.
Yeah,
I didn't watch a lot of Madrid.
Yeah, Madrid's been tough, to,
yeah,
be fair. But I just know from the scoreline, it was 6-4, 6-1, I think.
Mm.
So a bit of a, I think she fed off in the second set. But I'm not looking too much into these results of Coco. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's any issues there. Obviously, the coach thing is, you know, that's, she kind of spoke about that. But again, I don't think that's like a massive factor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She has the points to defend at the French Open, obviously, because she reached the final last year. But up until that point, I mean, yeah, up until the French, like,
she's been doing well in doubles as well.
And yeah, like, she's still going in the doubles as well, isn't she? She's playing with,
I think with
Pegula.
I think either they're still going and they lost.
They're the top. They're the top seeds.
Coco Pegula. Let me double check.
And then Townsend and Fernandez. They're also.
Oh no, the semi-finals today or tomorrow?
Wicked.
Friday.
Wicked.
Yeah. So hey.
And Townsend.
I see them winning this.
Townsend and Fernandez. They're also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're in there too. So they're playing in the quarters. I think probably now as we record.
Oh, okay.
Which is a nice partnership, clearly. Like, they like playing with each other, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's kind of Madrid wrapped up. Paolini and Stevens, they both played as well. They lost in the first round, but they're also both playing in 1-2-5s.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I saw that, yeah.
Which is, again, good. Yeah, so, good. Obviously, they're trying to get matches in before the French.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll both be in Rome as well next week. So... yeah, that's pretty much our roundup. As I say roundup, it's that we kind of talked about a lot in between with like Raducanu and stuff as well. But yeah, like, it's what else did you want to kind of talk about or discuss?
Well, let's actually, I mean, it's clay season.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the king of clay.
Rafa.
Who's been going MIA.
It's tough. It's hard.
What are we saying?
I don't know, you know. I really don't. Because I don't think he's going to play Rome. And
I don't think he's ever going to play.
Really, the French.
You should have listened to me last season. I told you. I told you. Pick up your last Grand Slam last season and then go take care of your wife and your junior. You didn't want to listen to me. Now look. Now look. Look where we are.
No, it's I just don't know much about the situation, so I can't really like.
He's just still the guy. His body is tired. His body is telling him, hey, wrap it up.
But I've seen pictures of him, like, practicing in...
Oh, but he's...
At his academy and stuff.
But hold on. That's... We know... One thing we know about Nadal is that he's competitive as fuck. That man does not like losing. So I'm not surprised if he's out here still trying to see...
So you think this is going to be the end then?
I don't see him... I don't see him doing, like, a Federer. Like... going MIA for a while and then coming to announce that he's
leaving. So how do you think he's going to do it?
I think he's going to come back next year again, try to win it. And if he wins that, he's done.
Then, yeah.
Unless his doctors come and tell him, wrap it up.
You can't do it.
Honestly speaking. Djokovic as well. He's not been looking that great. Although he must be happy because after the 11th of May... unvaccinated people can enter the US. So he's back to the US, guys.
I'm very happy for the unvaccinated people as well. Oh. Like, I'm sorry. I know that's controversial, but I'm sorry. But yeah, like...
He's back. He's going to be back in the US. But his form this year has not really... Wait, that's where he won a tournament.
Didn't. He hasn't won.
He hasn't
won anything.
Yeah,
so
he's...
He played, and we didn't talk about it, but Banja Luka... in Bosnia.
Yeah, and then he broke his racket.
I think
upset.
He lost in the semi-finals.
Yeah,
Monfils also played that tournament. He lost in the first round.
Yeah, so he's...
to the Hecker.
Yeah. So he... yeah, it's not looking good for the oldies. But on the bright side, we're going to have some new winners. Like, I think the French Open, apparently behind the scene, they're a bit scared because there's not going to be the big players and stuff. But this clay season, the young people have been showing up, man.
This is the thing.
Alcaraz has been showing up. Tsitsipas has been showing up as well. Rune has been showing up.
Medvedev's playing well.
Medvedev as well, even though he's being dramatic, but we love the drama. Oh my gosh, there was literally, I think it was his match like 2 or 3 days ago. There was at least even 10 pictures that could be made as a meme from that match.
I think you were talking about Monte Carlo with Zverev.
That one as well, it was a whole other drama and stuff. But I'm not too fussed, man. Like, the fact that we made it this far, to be honest, I can't even forget, like, oh yeah, Nadal is not even here. Do you get what I mean?
I've always said it, and we said it before, like, I think men's tennis right now is very exciting, and it's because of all the young guys coming up.
Alcaraz,
he's kind of shown that, yeah, he's not one to be played with,
boy,
which is nice.
He is showing up.
Like,
I know Nadal is shaking right now, but
I do want to see more consistency though, like from the ones below. So like, say for instance, Casper Ruud, for instance.
Yeah.
Again, and I'm not like, I don't want to be too critical of them. But yeah, like let's start winning the big events now, mm-hmm, because you have opportunities. Like you said, Nadal's not there. Like, come on.
Yep.
Novak's not playing his usual best.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if they're even going to make it to Rome. Like, I don't think they've announced anything.
As in what? Nadal?
No, Djokovic.
I'm not sure about Novak. I think Novak's okay, I want to say. I know he didn't play Madrid, but I think he's planning to play Rome. So
we'll see. Yeah. We'll see you, grandpas. In other news...
Another news.
ATP Tour is set to replace human line judges with electric line calling from 2025.
Yeah. Not sure about that, Lucy.
Same.
Not sure about that, man.
So, yo, all these computer shit, AI shit, scary. All these stuff. Like, yo, I don't know. When I saw it, I was like, I like the little human touch.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, like, it adds a little bit of something.
Hawkeye is great, like, which is amazing, but... I like seeing line judges.
Yeah.
Especially like grass, I mean, a grass court event. Like, I mean, Wimbledon, that's part of the look.
That's what
like
I'm
when
saying.
You see them like around the court. Them,
yeah,
like,
and then when they're switching, they're actually.
You get me,
like,
blazers
this, like,
on.
A whole, like, routine, like, they move like robots or something. Like, it's actually like, all of that is part of it.
Yeah.
I don't know, I feel like, I feel like maybe for some tournaments we can keep it, because sometimes it does save time.
It does.
It does, you know, whatnot. But I don't want to scrap it off completely. I hope
they kind of work a way around that to make sure. And also that's like a job for someone.
Yeah.
Like, so you're literally saying we don't need you anymore. Bye. Like, I don't like that.
Some people, well, these line judges need to start looking respectfully, need to start looking for a job.
I don't like that. So
like, which is crazy. Like, it's very crazy where this world is going into. Like, everything is just. Electric and digital.
Like you said, the AI thing is mad.
The AI thing's really
scary.
It's a
whole thing.
Like, it's actually terrifying. Like, I think people are underestimating what this thing... I mean, even the guy who created it literally, like, left Google and now he's in a whole, like, mental thinking.
Oh, swear down.
He's actually, wow,
yeah, I did read about that.
His thing was, like, I knew this was going to happen. I just did not think that one. I was gonna be the one's gonna make it happen, and this early.
Yeah.
Like, he thought, okay, maybe the technology or the maths that I've put together to make this happen will happen when, like, I'm dead 100 years after. And it's like, no, it's happening
right
now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fucking crazy.
It is.
Like, even at my own job, literally they were trying to, like, implement it for some tasks and stuff, and I even had to, like,
That's mad.
Yeah, that's when it really hit me. I was like. Because I generally thought, okay, yeah, it's happening, but maybe in like a couple of years after they'll actually implement it. But no, some people are actually using this shit and think, but I still think it's too early to replace human. But it's crazy that, hence why probably ATP are talking about, oh, it's going to happen 2025.
It's around the corner. Like, it's two years.
Listen,
like,
we're literally in May already. This year started 2 weeks ago.
Scary.
Like, it's actually crazy. But,
very, very scary.
We'll see how that goes. Let us know what you think, guys.
Great, cool. That's a great call.
Yeah, I think we're done for today.
Wow, so that wraps up
our first
studio.
How did it feel?
I mean, I was very nervous. I still am nervous as hell. But
do you know what? I kind of feel like this actually makes us talk.
Probably a bit more. Yeah, which is a bit scary.
No, but it's good because we're actually like more open and more...
You see, I don't want to be rambling.
I'm going to have fun when I'm going to edit this.
Well, you're the one editing, so give thanks.
Oh, gosh. But guys, hope you enjoyed today's pod. Make sure that you like, share, subscribe. Enjoy a little bit of tennis. We're going to be back after the French Open.
I think we'll be back. We'll be doing something prior to the French. But we'll announce that on socials.
Okay, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, we should do something.
And
though we are doing something with someone else.
Yes, we are.
Lucy's like, what?
I don't remember, guys. Sorry.
But it's cool.
A lot of shit in my head.
It's cool.
But we are, guys. So stay tuned.
Yeah, guys, as always, thank you for tuning in, man, and listening. Like, much appreciated. And yeah, we just hope you continue to, like I said, ride the wave with us.
Yes.
And yeah, we look forward to bringing you more content. Yeah, stay up to speed or up to date with us on social media, Twitter, Insta. And yeah, Lucy does an amazing job as well, like with all the reels and stuff. So yeah, guys, interact with us as well. Like, drop comments and, like, yeah, yeah, we do want to have, like, more conversations. 100%. I know I'm not the most, like, what's the word, active on Twitter. But I do want to make
more of an effort. I was actually even thinking of taking a break from my personal, just so I can use a black spin one more.
Be careful now. Be careful. But no, of course, that'd be amazing.
You can just say, hey. We don't want to see your raggedy ass tweets about relationships and cheats and whatever.
Let's keep it tennis. Let's keep it tennis. Strictly tennis.
I am.
But no, we do want to make more of an effort, especially now, coming up to the grass court season, which we're going to be like,
this is our home.
All up in it. So yeah, we're looking forward to that. But
definitely.
Yeah, guys, we appreciate you, man. So thank you for tuning in. And until next time, take care.